The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good morning, happy Saturday, and welcome to the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS. Great to be with you as always here on the program. 303-696-1971 is our telephone number if you'd like to join in to the festivities. You can also text into the show on the 710 KNUS app on your smartphone. Name in town. If you wish to text in, you can also email me. A couple of ways to do that. One, go to the Jimmy Sangenberger Show page at 710knus.com. And two, you can also go to my website, jimmysangenberger.com, and go to the contact page there. Keep in mind, there's no A, I, or U in Sangenberger. It's all E's all the time. Once you know that, Sangenberger is easy. And a couple of ways to follow me on the social media sphere. One, of course, on Twitter, you can follow me and DM me and tweet at me at Sang Center. That's Sang with an E, not an A, Center on Twitter. And you can reach me on Facebook, facebook.com/Jimmy Sangenberger Pro, or search Jimmy Sangenberger Media Personality on Facebook. So lots of ways to get in touch. But the best one, of course, live during the show, on the air, on the phone at 303-696-1971. Of course, this morning we'll always bring you the best bumper music known to man, nearly 10 years running. In addition, a fun bit of news coming up later on for my band. Folks have been wondering about the Jimmy Jr. Blues Band. Why haven't we been playing? We'll have an update on that. Check in with my bass player, Ken Cornell. And coming up at 8:05, what are we doing? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about a very important subject that I got to know a lot about last October when I visited Taiwan. Right now, in the United States and Central America, not sure exactly where she's located at the moment, but the president of Taiwan, Tsai Ing-wen, is doing a trip, a global trip, that has outraged the Chinese Communist Party. What's new about that? Nothing really. Anytime you have a particular action that suggests the United States supports the democratic people, the actual democratic people of Taiwan, in terms of their right to self-determination and to live under what they call the status quo, it ruffles China's feathers and they feel like the CCP feels like they need to act. Well, Tsai Ing-wen met a day or two ago with Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic leader in the U.S. House, and that was in New York City. Next week, she will be making a stop on her way back to Taiwan in Los Angeles, where she's anticipated to meet with Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy. You'll recall that prior Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, back in August of last year, Pelosi visited Taiwan, and that was a visit that the Chinese Communist Party was none too pleased with. Yet she did it to her credit anyway. And the Democrat and Republican leaders, including for the Republican, the Speaker of the House, to be specific, have made it clear that they're going to meet regardless of whether or not the Chinese Communist Party favors that. So we will check in coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, top of the 8 o'clock hour, with Bill Huang. He is Director General of the Taipei Economic and Cultural Office in Denver, which represents the Taiwanese government here in Colorado. Why is it called the TECO office? That would be the Taipei Economic and Cultural Office, as opposed to, say, a consulate, as is the case, say, Japan as a consulate. that is in Colorado, in Denver. Taiwan and the U.S. don't have formal relations. They don't have formal relations. On the contrary, only 13 countries now on the globe actually recognize Taiwan as a sovereign state. In the 1970s, the U.S. government made a shift in policy, and that was when they were making their detente with China. And I want to say that was in 1979, there was an understanding. And in that point in time, you had the U.S. government basically say, nope, no longer having relations with Taiwan. We're going along with this one China policy. Anyway, we will talk more about this coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. It is important international news that isn't getting much coverage, but that's kind of understandable when you have one or two other things that are going on that are a bit busier, a bit crazier. Look, last week I wasn't feeling that great, and I really focused on one thing with regards to the Donald Trump announcement at the time that he was expecting to be arrested on Tuesday, which of course never came. And then it was a couple days later that, oh, well, the indictment actually did come out. Surprise. It happened. And we're not sure exactly what it is. The media says it could be 34 counts. And look, the more I have thought about this, the more incensed I have gotten about this case. For a couple of reasons, one of which fits in directly with what Mike Pence, Trump's vice president, said on CNN yesterday, that this is not the case.
In this case, and a controversy over campaign finance, I can't speak to the merits of this case at all, but I can speak to the issue emanating out of a question over campaign finance should never have risen to the level to bring an unprecedented and historic prosecution.
So should Trump have been treated differently than Michael Cohen, who went to jail for doing this?
Well, Michael Cohen went to jail for lying to Congress. Look, this is an issue about campaign finances, and it's a tenuous at best. And I'm even seeing here on the airwaves of CNN a whole lot of legal experts that have been saying, not this case. And prosecutors make these decisions all the time for everyday Americans and for people in high positions and people of great influence. So this is a bad decision by a political prosecutor, and I think the American people are going to see right
now. And that is now really is abundantly clear here. Look, if you're Alvin Bragg, you should look at this from more than just, is there an issue? Like, let's give the greatest benefit of the doubt you possibly could. There's something small there, some misdemeanors in campaign finance. If you're Alvin Bragg, you use what's called prosecutorial discretion, even in that circumstance. I don't buy that circumstance, but even in that circumstance, you use that thing called prosecutorial discretion when you are about to make history, as happened this week. For the first time, a current or former president has been indicted by a grand jury. And it wasn't on something of great import. We can debate, we can hash out how significant the issues of Georgia, January 6th, or Mar-a-Lago and the documents are, and how those would play out. There's at least some significance there to those three cases that theoretically, I'm not saying they should, but theoretically could justify an indictment or something. Theoretically. This is not that situation. This is far from it. And not only that, but you have a jury that is clearly going to be tainted, because who the hell in Manhattan, forget the rest of the country where Donald Trump is either loved or hated or some folks in between, but tends to polarize people more than any other person. He's got maximum name ID, but he is from Manhattan. Hey, that's his neck of the woods, is New York City. And he's going to have a fair trial with a jury of his peers? Here's Jonathan Turley on the Mar-a-Lago piece and why he thinks that's the biggest deal Trump may face. And that Manhattan jury.
The case that Trump needs to be most worried about, and I've said this over and again, is Mar-a-Lago. because unlike the bootstrap theory that we've been talking about, Mar-a-Lago was based on favorite criminal provisions of the Department of Justice, obstruction of justice, false statements. Those are very easy to prosecute. And so that's probably the greatest threat that the former president faces. Now, the problem, obviously, with the Bragg indictment is you couldn't have picked a worse jury pool for the former president. And, you know, you could, you know, have a hard time finding many people that have no opinion about Donald Trump in Manhattan.
I don't know how Manhattan can be a viable place for the trial to take place. Doesn't it need to happen in another venue so that you can have a jury, even a jury pool to pull from, that could have at least some semblance of impartiality? Yes, anywhere in the country it's going to be hard, but not nearly like it is in Manhattan. Believe it or not, there actually are a lot of people who are apathetic about politics, and they just don't really care. They don't care who's in power. They think they're all corrupt, or they're all this, or they're all that. But at the same time, you have people who are impassioned. But you could find a jury that is more likely to be apathetic outside of New York City, particularly outside of Manhattan, of all places. But I really, look, this Alvin Bragg campaigned on prosecuting Trump. Then he got into the office and he ended up having a couple of prosecutors resign in protest because he had originally said, I'm not going to indict Trump. We're not going to continue moving forward to even pursue an indictment. That happened soon after Bragg took office early last year. Headline from CNN on March 6th. So we're talking just over a year ago. Prosecutors resigned after New York DA said he wasn't prepared to move forward with indictment of Trump. Of course, one of those prosecutors, I believe Prosecutor Mark Pomerantz, was the prosecutor who resigned and then went on to write a book about prosecuting Trump, which shows his motives more than anything. But it seems like there might have been some internal pressure to go after Trump that Alvin Bragg said, you know what, I'm going to give in to my instincts or what I wanted politically, originally, when I ran for office, and I'm actually going to go ahead and do this. That prosecutorial discretion piece is something he should have been advised on more plainly. Here's Mike Pence on that point.
Prosecutors make decisions, discretionary decisions, about what they bring all the time. Federal prosecutors passed on this. The Manhattan DA initially delayed it, passed on it. But when you have an attorney general in New York and a Manhattan DA that targeted one particular American in their campaigns, I think that offends the notion of the overwhelming majority of the American people who believe in fairness, who believe in equal treatment before the law. And this appears to be just one more example, Wolf, of the kind of two-tiered justice system that the American people have had enough of.
Yeah, prosecutorial discretion comes into play all the time. And by the way, federal prosecutors, other state prosecutors, had passed on this case. They didn't march forward with it. And yet you have, yes, indeed, Soros-backed, as a number of district attorneys, including some in Colorado, were, Alvin Bragg make this call. By the way, on this whole issue of Soros-backed, gosh, the left just goes absolutely bonkers over this thing. Michael Beschloss on MSNBC got all upset because you know what Ron DeSantis was doing and that he knew what he was doing when he called Alvin Bragg Soros-backed.
The governor of Florida, as you know, went to Harvard Law School. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows that he's defying federal power in a way that really harkens back to George Wallace in June of 1963, when Wallace in Tuscaloosa stood in the schoolhouse door, University of Alabama, and said, although the Supreme Court says that the University of Alabama has to be integrated with two black students, I am going to represent state power and defy that. That's what DeSantis is trying to do.
George Wallace. Ron DeSantis saying, you know what? If it comes to it, I'm not going to extradite Trump to New York. I'm not going to force him out to New York and participate in that. That's equivalent to George Wallace enforcing segregation in 1963 in defiance of the U.S. Supreme Court, not a rogue state prosecutor, a district attorney, but the Supreme Court violating fundamental individual rights in 1963. This is how far gone, how bonkers the left is. And it makes it even easier to say, yes, this particular prosecution is a political prosecution being pursued by a leftist district attorney, making history in a way that is, first of all, it's going to open the floodgates potentially. Republicans can go after a Democrat former president, maybe current president even. But second of all, this is in the history books forever now. A president was indicted, and we've had the Constitution in place in 1787, or at least that's when it was being approved and ratified in 1789, and that's the first time we had a president in George Washington elected was in 1789. And in all those years, we've never had this. And then Alvin Bragg goes ahead and on a campaign finance issue, which is what this appears to be coming down to, decides to move ahead. Come on. Absurd. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about the politics of this. What are your thoughts on the prosecution, 303-696-1971? And even more, does this, in fact, as conventional wisdom holds, rally the Republican base behind Trump's reelection bid because of the way that he has been treated since before his presidency with the FBI spying on the Trump campaign onto today with this particular political, apparent political prosecution? 303-696-1971 is our telephone number. If you want to join into the festivities, you can also text into the show on the 710KNUS app. Name and town if you wish to text in. I'll be right back. Just getting started. It's the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, Denver's local talk leader, News Talk, 710KNUS. Oh, man, you've got to love the great late King of the Blues, B.B. King. That voice right there. You know, a lot of folks say that B.B.'s Live at the Regal is his best live tune. A live concert. But actually, it is right here, live at Cook County Jail, as you're hearing B.B. play his soul out. I mean, honestly, if you have not heard the Live at Cook County Jail album for B.B. King, that is, I believe, his greatest live album. Maybe it's because he's playing with and for an audience of people who are really feeling the blues because they're in jail. Funny, just listen to that soul in the guitar there. You just gotta love the king of the... There's a reason why B.B. King was and always will remain the king of the blues. And we're always going to play him here with the best damn bumper music known to man. Kelly, I could just let this tune play out for its entirety. But alas, this is a talk show, not a music show, so we shall continue here with our conversation. I know, right? Right? Just gotta love it. Welcome back to the Jimmy Sengenberger Show. Best damn bumper music known to man. Nearly 10 years running here on 710 KNUS. Our telephone number 303-696-1971. Text into the show on the 710 KNUS app on your smartphone. All right, let's get into the politics of Jonathan Turley saying on Fox News some points that I think are very valid and important. Take a listen to this.
Donald Trump may be the first former president to be indicted, but if this is the standard, he won't be the last. And it's going to obviously get very fierce in terms of the motions and the litigation ahead of us, and obviously the politics. You know, it's a curious thing, by the way, to lead with this case, because it, you know, the chaos that is erupting is pretty much the element for Donald Trump. I mean, it's like trying to kill an orca by throwing him into the water. I mean, he's obviously doing well in the polls because Alvin Bragg just gave him a proof positive that the criminal justice system is being politicized. And the reason some of us take that view is not because we've seen the indictment. We still have to see it. But the history going to the indictment, Bragg ran on prosecuting Trump. So did the New York Attorney General. He had this very public, almost Hamlet-like process where he debated whether he could do this bootstrapping theory. He stopped it for a while and then was pressured to go forward with it. All of that smacks more of politics than prosecutorial discretion.
That smacks of politics more than prosecutorial discretion, and I completely agree. I thought that the Wall Street Journal had a great editorial yesterday on this exact topic. And they particularly made the point that I think is most critical here. Mr. Bragg is busting a political norm that has stood for 230 years. Once a former president and current candidate is indicted, I didn't mention this before or emphasize this point before, Trump is a current candidate and you're going after him criminally on trumped up, no pun intended there, trumped up campaign finance charges. But they say some local Republican prosecutor will look to make a name for himself by doing the same to a Democrat. U.S. democracy will be further abused and battered. Mr. Bragg, the provincial progressive, is unleashing forces that all of us may come to regret. They point out, quote, "We believe any prosecution of a former president should involve a serious offense." Because keep in mind, as Mike Pence said in a clip we played in the last segment, you know, nobody is above the law. The president is not above the law, but bring a case that actually has a serious offense. Is there a different standard for, say, Trump to Michael Cohen? Actually, yes. And the reason why is not purely political, but it is precedential, not presidential, precedential in nature. Because of the long-term implications of doing something that has never been done before over something like this. And frankly, you do have to consider some of the political implications, particularly heading into an election cycle. But even more than that, it is, does this reach a standard of taking that step to go after a president of the United States in this context? And this does not reach that standard. This particular case, at least from what we know right now, and I don't think anything's going to change once that indictment is finally unsealed. But the journal continues, the evidence should also be solid enough that a reasonable voter would find it persuasive. The last thing a politically polarized America needs is a case in which partisans line up on either side like a political O.J. Simpson trial. Can you imagine Trump driving in a Bronco? The prosecution must be seen by most of the country as an example of fair-minded justice. This is doubly so when the case involves a former president who is also running again for the same office as Mr. Trump now is. Add that the prosecutor belongs in the same Democratic Party as the current president, whom Trump is running against, and the suspicion of a political prosecution will be rampant. This is why we urge Mr. Bragg not to revive a 7-year-old case that federal prosecutors declined to act on. 7 years old. There is serious politics going on here. Now, here's a question. How does this play out politically for Trump? The conventional wisdom seems to be this helps him in the primaries because it will rally some Republicans who've even been annoyed with him who will say, you know what? They've always been going after Trump since he went down that escalator. They've been trying to take him out of commission since then, as embodied in the FBI spying in the fake dossier tied with the Clinton campaign. And then you have Russia, Russia, Russia forever. And yes, some Democrats denying the results of the 2016 election. You have two different impeachments and several other instances. All this does is really stoke the flames of passions for what perception or otherwise is going on over campaign finance charges involving an adult actress. Is that true, though? Is that conventional wisdom, the first part of it, it helps Trump against DeSantis, against anybody else? And then is it true that it hurts him in the general election? Especially if you have more cases that do come out. Say Georgia might be the next shoe to drop. January 6th, Mar-a-Lago. If you have multiple cases like that, does that hurt him further in the general election? Look, I do think 303-696-1971, our telephone number, if you want to chime in on that. But I do think that given all the different cases, I would have liked to see Trump have some discernment and say, you know what, this is just I'm going to be distracted by politics going on with legal cases, and I'm going to be distracted by my defense, and I'm going to be dealing with all these things. I don't really need to run again and have legal issues drag me down. And I don't just mean a rogue prosecutor in the case of Alvin Bragg going after Trump on trumped up campaign finance charges. I mean the other things that will come up. The other things that are going to come up. And the fact that in a presidential election, he will constantly be dogged by these issues. Perhaps rightly in some cases, wrongly, clearly in other cases, like this one. But maybe he's Teflon Don and it's not going to hold him back, and he'll end up circumventing the shellacking Republicans took in 2020 and what happened in 2018 in the midterms, and then get reelected. But how much does this help him in the primary? Does this make you more inclined to vote for Trump, for Don, over, say, Ron DeSantis, than you were before this all happened? When you thought it might, and now it actually has. There's a great piece as well. I won't read from it here much, but Bradley A. Smith, who is chairman of the Institute for Free Speech and law professor at Capital University in Columbus, Ohio, chairman of the Federal Election Commission in 2004. And he makes the point that, as the headline says, this Trump indictment is a perversion of campaign finance law. And he particularly says, quote, in other words, the crime that Mr. Bragg claims is being covered up isn't a crime at all. Worse still, one is left with the distinct impression that Mr. Trump had used campaign funds to pay Ms. Daniels. Mr. Bragg would be alleging that the underlying crime the business records were intended to cover up was the illegal conversion of campaign funds to personal use. This is a classic catch-22 that undermines the rule of law. And Andrew McCarthy, who you often see on Fox News, he writes for the National Review over on FoxNews.com, the former federal prosecutor, points out that you got 34 counts, supposedly, over this case. And he says if Bragg is indicting 34 counts over this nonsense, it's because he doesn't have one count he would be indicting if he was doing his job right. It's quantity. It's like a, what is it, gift gab or something like that? Gift gab, some term in debate. Where you just throw out boom, 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 boom. You just try to throw out 20 different arguments and hope that one will resonate with your listener or your audience or what have you. And it's kind of like that. 34 charges? Boom, 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 boom. Well, one of them's got to be right, a jury might think. You got 34. How can we say there's that none of them are right? And that is a very valid point. Pretty crazy when you think about it. 303-696-1971 is our telephone number if you want to join in to the festivities here on Denver's local talk leader, News Talk 710 KNUS. I'm Jimmy Sangenberger. We'll be back here in just a moment. Kelly, I got to ask you a question. Do you think that yesterday, amidst all the wind, it was yelling Mary, channeling a little Jimi Hendrix here?
I can't say that I heard Mary in the wind. But,
hey, it wasn't. It was maybe it was a cry, Mary, but it was, certainly wasn't a whisper of that was a hell of a wind. And thank God the fires managed to have tamped down with the evacuation. There were pre-evacuation orders that were put out, but it was at least not the Midwest. But man, was that some wind yesterday.
Yeah, it was kite flying weather.
Yeah, made me think, okay, I got to get a little tune about wind into the mix. And then especially when Jimmy goes out and breaks into a nice, smooth solo. I don't know why he spelled his name Jimmy, J-I-M-I, but just listen to that guitar. Welcome back to the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS, wrapping up this, the first hour of the program. Got two more yet to go, including coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Oh, man, I'm just excited to bring back onto the show Bill Huang, who is the Director General of the Taipei Economic and Cultural Office in Denver, which represents the Taiwanese government here as his president is visiting North, specifically the U.S. government or U.S. United States and South America, Central America. Although they're not officially calling it a visit to the United States, because instead we have what's the term that they're using? Transit. That's the term. They're calling it transit. And I think that's because the Chinese Communist Party doesn't want to tolerate an actual visit. So they're trying to play a little sneaky and say, oh, this is in transit. More on that coming up later on in the program, including a clip of montage of foreign media grilling one of the press secretaries for the United Nations on why, while the president is in New York, president of Taiwan was in New York, not sure if she's still there, Tsai Ing-wen, why she could not visit the United Nations. And gosh, the guy twisting himself into a pretzel, that'll be coming up here in a little bit on the program. Huh, I don't know what, getting several texts, I think, Kelly just got a listener call about bumper music. Kelly, we got to figure out what's going on. Apparently, listeners aren't hearing bumper music. I'm not sure what's going on. I mean, I heard it just fine. It was, I mean, listening to The Wind Cries Mary really gets you going in the morning. Not as much as B.B. King with The Thrill Is Gone live at Cook County Jail in the previous segment. So I don't know what the hell's going on, guys. So we'll figure that out for the next hour. Thanks for texting in on the program. 303-696-1971, by the way, is the telephone number to join into the festivities. You can also text into the show on the 710 KNUS app on your smartphone. Name and town, if you wish to text in. So I want to go back to Mike Pence and his point about prosecutorial discretion, because I think this is on point in that Alvin Bragg, the district attorney in Manhattan, is not exercising that properly on this particular case dealing with alleged campaign finance violations when you're talking about going after a former president of the United States, shall we just say the former president who is a current candidate for office.
Prosecutors make decisions, discretionary decisions about what they bring all the time. Federal prosecutors passed on this. The Manhattan DA initially delayed it, passed on it. But when you have an attorney general in New York and a Manhattan DA that targeted one particular American in their campaigns, I think that offends the notion of the overwhelming majority of the American people who believe in fairness, who believe in equal treatment before the law.
I think that's so true and very well put by former Vice President Mike Pence, who may also be an opponent of Donald Trump. Look, I do think that in the primary, this helps Trump. Does he want to be indicted? Does he want to face criminal charges, especially before a Manhattan jury, if he can't get the venue changed to a place with a jury pool that can at least be relatively trusted to be impartial? I mean, we'll see. But I can't imagine he exactly wants that, but he does kind of thrive on the chaos of it all. He does thrive on the ability to say, look at how I am being persecuted. And it's interesting, too, because Professor Jonathan Turley of George Washington University was saying on Fox this week, he believes, and I think this is a minority opinion, but I don't know, he believes that a president can pardon himself. So Trump, theoretically, as Turley put it, paraphrasing here, could get elected president, pardon himself, thereby making even the race for president about pardoning himself, and then say, I'm pardoning myself and going after the deep state. Is that a message that would resonate in the Republican primary if he were to really build that up and play that out? Do you have any reservations about a president who is facing a number of different legal issues? Yes, this one, political prosecution, breaking the ice, as it were, on indicting a former president or current president. But other cases coming down, is that going to be too much of a distraction? Does it actually help Trump? You know, in the short run, I think it does. But if you have more indictments, could Republicans get tired of it and say, you know what? Not too keen on having a presidential nominee in Trump who's facing all these issues, in addition to the general drama that has come from Trump, that, you know, so much of it is because of the left, but he also likes playing games with the media and getting very personal online and elsewhere in ways that no other president has. And he kind of asks for it, not the prosecution stuff. You can't ask for a political prosecution. But you can ask for people to get smarmy, to get personal, to get bitter. And he certainly tracks that, huh? Kelly, I'm hearing a little bit of music. I'll talk with you during the break and we'll figure out what the heck was going on there. When we come back on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show in the top of the hour. Oh, April Fools. We'll be back on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show.
three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.